We're going to begin with the reading of God's Word from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll begin at verse 10 and read to verse 20. Hear God's holy word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And here ends the reading of God's holy word. May he bless that to our hearts and our minds. I gave you bookmarks with the congregation that I serve, and I did that selfishly. I'm hoping that you will take that, and as you see it, pray for me. Remember our congregation on the left coast, and pray for us. And I'd like to ask you a question. How many of you are planning on being pastors or are currently serving as pastors? You to ask, as you've seen those hands go up, how are you praying for those hands? How are you praying for those men that are serving as pastors, or those men that are preparing for pastoral ministry? This morning I would like to challenge you and have you consider the way that you do pray for one another. And as you pray for one another as pastors and as future pastors, it is an important aspect of spiritual warfare in the life of the church. Notice how Paul ends this whole Armor of God series. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20 will be our text. Paul says, "And pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly, as I ought to speak." As we think about preachers and praying for preachers, I want you to notice how Paul calls himself an ambassador in chains. The word for ambassador, the root word, is the same word from which we get the word Presbyterian. You can look that up in your Greek New Testament. It means one who is transmitting a message, or one who is representing in an official way. In the ancient world, the ambassador was used to negotiate business agreements, legal settlements, and especially the ambassador would serve as a representative of the king. He was called a legate. In the Roman army, the general or the commander was called the legate, and he was appointed by the Senate to bring an army into a field, and as he brings an army into a field, he is going to give the king's terms of surrender. That's the purpose of the legate. He negotiates the terms of surrender with the enemies. So the Apostle Paul, in the context of spiritual warfare, takes that language of the ambassador and he applies it to the gospel preacher. He applies it to the one who's speaking on behalf of Jesus Christ with a message. This is how Paul wants you to consider your ministry if you're preparing for pastoral ministry or if you are serving as a pastor. An ambassador, a legate, one who will negotiate the terms of surrender between the king and his enemies. An army of sinners is given the terms of surrender by the king, and that comes by way of the ambassador or the legate. So how should you all pray for the ambassadors in this room and those who are preparing to be ambassadors? How can you continue to pray for one another in the months following your seminary life? Because, you know, this isn't forever. You will scatter. You will be sent out. You will be sent out as ambassadors. And brothers, pray for one another. Pray for one another as you consider the fact that you have other ambassadors around the nation and through the nations of this world that are preaching the gospel of peace on behalf of Jesus Christ. Now, look at what Paul requests for himself in prayer, and that will help us to pray for each other as ministers. Well, first off, Paul says to pray for each other's message. Pray for each other's message. That's verse 19. He says, "And also pray for me that words may be given to me." Paul says that of himself. Pray that I may have the right words. Secular historians note that the Apostle Paul is probably the second most influential Jew who has ever lived. And if you're scratching your head and wondering who the first is, maybe this calling is not for you. The Apostle Paul is a brilliant mind. He's got a great classical Jewish training. He's one of the brightest men who's ever lived. Thousands, if not millions, of books fill libraries throughout the world talking about the 13 or 14 books that the Apostle Paul wrote. Letters. Millions and millions of pages discussing 13 or 14 letters. Paul says, pray for me that words may be given. The Apostle Paul understands his position in spiritual battle. He understands that he is the one who's rallying troops and speaking on behalf of the king. And Paul has his own battles to fight. But as an ambassador, he understands that he's on the front lines and he needs the prayers of the church. Pray that I'm given a message. Pray that I adhere to God's word to the point where that which I say is received as the words of Christ or as the word of God. In Ephesians 2:17, you can look that up later, but Paul uses that language. He says that Jesus Christ came and preached to the Ephesians. When did he do that? He didn't physically come. Jesus Christ came in preaching to the Ephesians. And Paul uses that language elsewhere as well. In Romans 10, we have that famous line, faith comes by hearing. And that's the whole reason that Paul wants preachers to be sent out into the world. He says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can a preacher preach unless he's called? And how can he be sent unless he's called? And he says, faith comes by hearing, and then what follows? Hearing by the word of God, or the words of Christ, depending on the textual matter. Paul understands that as the ambassador or the legate of the king, the message that he brings is to be received as the word of God, as the words of Christ. Friends, pray for one another. Pray for faithfulness. Pray that as pastors you would bring the words of Christ rather than your own opinions. Pray that the message of the Bible and the message of reconciliation in Christ, rather than do-good morality, would be at the center of your pulpits. If Paul needed this prayer for message, how much more will you need it? How much more do I need it? Paul says, pray for my message. But he goes on, and I want you to notice that when he goes on, he says that we're not just to pray for the message of the preacher, but in the second place, we pray for each other's manner as well. So the message and the manner. He says, and also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth. We know that Paul anticipated going before the accusers, and he would have to make a decision. Would Paul say, Caesar is Lord? Or would Paul say, Jesus is Lord? And Paul understands that he needs to speak in a way that is consistent with his message. And the phrase, opening my mouth, it's a phrase that is reflective of how the prophet spoke. Psalm 78:2, which we will sing, uses this language in a prophetic way as it speaks of Jesus Christ. I will open my mouth in utter dark sayings. This is the way of the prophet. It's coming with an authoritative message. It's thus saith the Lord. Matthew 5:2, the Sermon on the Mount, it says, Jesus opened his mouth and taught. Acts 8:35, Philip opened his mouth. And then he goes on and he expounds the scriptures. He exposits the scriptures. You see, opening the mouth is not just a reference to how the preacher gets his message across. The mouth is open, but that's pretty obvious, right? It's verbal communication. Of course, the mouth is going to be open. But what is behind that statement is that the ambassadors are connected to this book and opening this book and speaking that which this book speaks. And this is central to what preachers do. Preachers preach. And Paul wants that done without fear, without the fear of men. See, it would be very easy to tickle ears if anything other than God were God. Church budgets, influential families, salary, reputation. All of these things can cause the preacher to not open his mouth. And Paul says, brothers, pray for one another that you would open your mouth. Pray as future pastors. Pray for future preachers. Pray, open my mouth, Lord. Open their mouth. Open his mouth, Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Do you know the term prophecy was a favorite term during the Reformation and in later Puritanism for preaching, prophesying? We don't really use that language much anymore. Some of you maybe have read The Art of Prophesying by William Perkins. And it's not a book on how to tell the future. It's a book on preaching. Prophecy is the unfolding of the mystery of God's word, and that is the job of the preacher. And it's not a work for man pleasers or for those unwilling to stand on God's word. Pray for one another. Pray that you will be prophets that open your mouths. We have a message, which is the word of God. We have a manner, which is the way of the prophet. And lastly, this morning, we see also that the apostle says that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly. That's our third heading. Paul wants you to pray for each other's metal as well. The metal. The word metal means strength of spirit or temperament of disposition. And Paul tells us something of this, doesn't he? He says that he wants the church to pray that he, as an apostle, would open his mouth with boldness. It's a fun Greek word. It's parousiazomai, to speak boldly. And it can also be translated a few different ways. It can be to speak with confidence, or to speak plainly, or to speak with clarity. Paul understands that boldness and clarity go together in the pulpit, and I think he chose the right Greek word that encompasses both boldness and clarity. You don't want someone that's clear and they sit up here and they just go, well, here's what the word says. But you also don't want somebody that's just bold and saying nothing. Boldness and clarity go together. I would recommend Westminster Larger Catechism 159 to see how these words, plainly, clarity, boldly, are all incorporated into how the preacher is to preach. And brothers, if this book is not taught systematically and with clarity and thoroughly and boldly, you will not be equipping your people. You will not be sharpening their swords. You will not be preparing them for spiritual battle. You'll actually be leaving them to wander in this life. Boldness and clarity. Brothers, our calling is not that of professional oration. Our vocation is to open God's word and to bring it in a prophetic way with boldness and clarity, with thus saith the Lord. And without that bold and clear application of the scriptures, where the sword comes down and cuts at my heart, and the sword comes down and cuts at your heart, then it's just a lecture. It's a theological treatise on some text. Pray for one another. Pray for boldness. Pray for clarity. Pray for that metal of disposition of heart. Friends, weak pulpits make weak congregations. Paul needed prayer for boldness and clarity. And I would be either too foolish or too proud to say that I don't need those prayers. If Paul needs it, how much more do I need it and you need it? Pray for clarity. Pray for boldness. The end of my ministry in Los Angeles, whether there's 10 people there or 500 people there, my prayer is that the congregation will reflect and say, he showed us Christ with boldness and with clarity. And believe it or not, this boldness is something of a matter of ethics. It's required. Look at the end of verse 20. Paul says, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The word ought in our vocabulary is a word that doesn't really carry a lot of meaning. You know, I ought to go there, but it's not going to happen. But ought is an ethics word. It's something that is a requirement, a moral imperative. Boldness is required. Clarity is required. Metal is required. Friends, are you praying for one another? Are you praying about those future callings, those places where you will go? Are you praying for one another as future ambassadors, preparing your heart to take this seriously? Preparing your heart to stand before a congregation with thus saith the Lord. Are you praying for the message of the men in this room that what is said from their pulpits would be received as the word of God? That's our doctrine of preaching. Are you praying that the manner is that of the prophet, speaking with authority? Are you praying for the metal, the boldness, and the clarity of that moral imperative, that which is required of you? Pray, brothers. Pray, sisters. Pray for the message of the preacher and the manner of the preacher and the metal of the preacher, even unto the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray for those in this room that are preparing for pastoral ministry. We pray for those that are currently serving, both in the seminary as well as in congregations. Lord, we pray that you would raise up a generation of preachers that turn the world upside down. Lord, we pray that Christ would receive his due inheritance, even through the preaching of the word. Amen.